Never played with a player like that on this team.
Hello, Bulls fans. Welcome to another episode of the Chicago Bullseye. I'm your host, Mark Lewenthal, and with me, as always, is the doctor, Fred Pfeiffer. Freddie, what's going on?
Mark, my dulcet tones, you can probably tell, aren't their usual quality self. I'm under the weather again, man. I can't beat it. I'm getting cold after cold this year, but still ready to rock. And I have a game that I've invented that I want to play with you, if you're available. You ready to rock?
I am ready to rock. Now, Fred, today I have an explosive case of diarrhea, so if I have to run for a moment here or there, I just want to give full disclosure. If I have to run, I'll just give the show to you for a little bit, go run, come back. Yeah, just the last hour's been a little dicey, if you know what I'm saying, right?
Okay. All right. Well, that's interesting, but the game is called How Well Do You Know the Bulls? And I'm going to ask you some questions.
I'm just going to date me on all this crap. You're going to be like, so in 1960.
No. This team. I'm shocked at, I've been playing it with very smart people who follow the team, watch every day. And it amazes me how little people know, as far as, who's having a good year, who's not, who's putting up numbers, who's not. So I wanted to try it with you, and you can play at home, too, who's ever listening, and tell me if you know the answers. So, for example, let's start out. Can you tell me the 1-2-3 on the team with total assists this year? Keep in mind, obviously, Derek has been hurt for quite a while, so I'm going to throw a little wrench in there.
Total assists?
Total assists. Who's 1-2-3?
All right, I'm going to lay them down first. I'm going to lay down who I think the three are, and you could tell me if the three are right, and then I'll rank them.
Okay.
I'm going to say – I still say Derek's in it. Derek's got to be in it. So's Joakim and Powell, probably. Hang on. Oh, God. I mean, Jimmy was out for a while. I mean, Aaron's done all right, but I don't see – yeah, those are the three. Are those the three?
Well, you got two out of the three. Noah's number one, 284, total 284 assists. Rose is number three, 231. And Aaron Brooks is number two at 233. So Aaron actually just passed Derek. And they're both almost at – actually, Aaron Brooks, believe it or not, has played more total minutes than Derek Rose this year. Were you aware of that? That's a fact. He's played 16:58, and Derek's played 14:28. Noah's played 18:67. So Noah's number one with 284, Brooks two at 233, and Derek is three at 231. Gasol, the other man you mentioned, is actually fourth at 193 ahead of Jimmy Butler with 187. Pretty interesting, though. I'm very impressed that you got two out of three. You ready for the next one, which I thought
Let's
was pretty interesting? Free throw attempts. Give me the 1-2-3 on free throw attempts for your beloved Bulls this year.
There's no question number one's Jimmy Butler. Am I right?
For 418, number one.
Number one. Okay.
And that's
this
I think that's also top five in the league, by the way, as an aside.
I'm sure. Number two, I'm going to have to go with Powell.
Was number two with 324. Very good. So that's
okay.
Just one as an aside, I would like to state, getting to the free throw line is something the Bulls historically after Jordan have always struggled with. They've never had guys to, Heinrich would go months without getting to the line. And that's a huge advantage when you have guys that can draw fouls, put the other team in bonus, and go to the free throw line, and especially hit it at a rate like Butler and Gasol have. Okay, go on. Who's number three?
Okay, and the reason I'm going to pick my third, the third that I'm going to pick here is because I don't feel like our team as a whole, most players don't get to the line a whole lot. I mean, only the great ones do. Only a handful do. But I know that he's been tearing it up the last couple of months, but playing time makes me question whether he's number three. But I'm going to go Nico because he's been such a beast getting the line the last few months. I can't imagine, even if you just take those, I don't think anybody could have caught him. in limited minutes this year.
Are you looking at a computer?
No. Swear, is it Nico?
You got him.
I'm looking at the standings. I don't even have the roster in front of me.
First guy I've talked to, knowledgeable Bulls fan, who got it right. Very good.
Well,
very good.
Look,
1, 2, 3.
There's no question. Nico's been better than Derek at getting to the line in terms of the last month. It's just a question of, you know, did he play enough in terms of, you know, total attempts? But no question that if we're looking at averages per game or something like that, I could definitely get this Nico. Total per year, it was questionable. But, yeah, thank you.
Well, what's amazing is, so Nico's number three with 254 free throw attempts. Number four is Derrick Rose with 174. I mean, there's a mile of difference between Mirotić and Rose, and Noah's fifth with 164. So, I mean, that's
how many Noah's minutes.
Noah's played more minutes than both those guys. Nico's up to 1472 in total minutes, and Noah's at 1867. But and so again,
wow.
Mirotić with 254 free throw attempts.
What's Rose for this?
Rose has got 1428 total minutes, so he's actually just below Nico's total minutes.
I'm amazed.
But he's significantly below his free throw attempts, which shows, hey, man, whatever you say about Nico, he can get to the line. He's got a gift for it. That is part of my concern, is that I'm not certain he's going to get these calls in the playoffs. And I made that case on the Bulls Zone when I was a guest there last week, and I took a little bit of heat for it. I mean, I love Nico. I think he's going to be a great player. But I've been watching basketball. I'm 41. I've been watching basketball all my life for 30 years, and I don't know what it is about the NBA, but in general, rookies don't get calls in the playoffs. Heck, they don't get calls in the regular season, especially in the playoffs. And is he going to continue to get to the free throw line at the same rate he has been during the regular season? I hope so. I doubt it, though. That's all I'm saying. I don't see him continuing to get those calls. In general, unless you're Kevin Durant or Kobe Bryant or LeBron James, you don't continue to get those calls in the playoffs. Refs tend to swallow their whistle a little bit more in the playoffs. So that's my only point. You know, Mirotić is having a great rookie year. But I am concerned that in general, his field goal percentage is not very high. It's 41.3%. His three-point percentage is not very high. It's 31.2%. The vast majority of his points this month have come from the free throw line, or a big percentage have. I don't know if that's going to continue in the playoffs. I hope it does. And if it does, we're probably going to be in the finals if Tibbs plays him. But we'll see. You know, we'll see.
How great of an omen, though, is that towards for the future, though? Because you look at rookies, and when rookies come into the league, generally, the things that you see at the beginning, you see a lot of things, but they generally have a hard time shooting. They struggle with their shot generally right when they come into the league, but they also generally struggle with asserting themselves and being aggressive. And it's amazing how Nico has just transformed over the course of the last 6 weeks since Derek's gone down. He is so much more aggressive. I mean, he is. One of the best players on the team, and for this to be as a rookie, I can't wait to see what this guy becomes. I think that we have the future of this franchise right there. I think that he's going to be a perennial all-star. I think that he could be a stud in this league, a superstar in this league. Quote me now. I mean, this guy is a rookie, and he is playing out of this world. And if we are going to talk about impact, I think he should get Rookie of the Year, only because
I agree with you.
Wiggins is doing it on a crappy team. The team is like second worst team in the league right now, maybe third, but they're one of the worst teams in the league. The Bulls are playing good. He came in at a tough time. Nico came in like three quarters of the way through the season and was said, here's the ball. Figure it out. I mean, pretty much like everyone was out. And the Bulls held float. And the fact is right now we are the 3 seed in the Eastern Conference, despite the fact that Jimmy Butler missed significant time, Derek and Taj all at the same time. Missed significant time, and a big part of the reason that we were able to stay afloat is because of Nico.
Oh, absolutely agree with you. I think he is Rookie of the Year. His play in March alone, he deserves it for that. I mean, he's got more fourth quarter points, I think, than any other player in the NBA. You got to compare what he's doing on a night-to-night basis with, you know, Wiggins, who's playing for one of the worst teams in basketball. He's going to get a ton of minutes, getting just thrown out there. Doesn't matter how many mistakes he makes. You know, whereas you got Nico, who makes two mistakes, he's going to get pulled more often than not. He's had to deal with inconsistent minutes, and he's still thriving. I completely agree with you, and I think this guy's a limit for the kid. There's nothing he can't do in the offensive end. If you put a three on him, he can take him into the post. That's my most exciting thing to me, is that I've seen his post game develop, where he's able to take smaller guys in the post And then he's a nightmare for fours who have to guard him out, 30 feet. He'll shoot the ball. He'll shoot it pretty far out, you know what I mean? And that's really tough on a defense. Last one, though. Let's see how well you know your team. This is a fun game, Mark, and you've really impressed me because you do know the Bulls inside and out. Minutes played. Can you tell me 1, 2, 3 for minutes played?
Total minutes played? Gosh. So, I mean, you are dealing with the fact that he missed some time, but, oh, boy. Because we're ranking it here, so that's what, I mean, there's no question. If you asked me a month ago, it was Jimmy Butler. There's no question. But is he still number one, despite the fact that he missed some time? So I'm debating between him and Powell, because Powell obviously didn't miss the same amount of time, but he doesn't average the same minutes per game. Oh, my God. Okay, so for a month, carry the two. I still think I might say Jimmy Butler is number one. He's got to be, no?
Jimmy Butler is number two.
Is it Powell number one?
Gasol's number one with 2,412 minutes. I don't know off the top of my head. I'm not going to look it up, but I don't think there was a player on the Spurs last year who played over 2,100 minutes. I could be wrong on that. But Gasol is 2,412, number one, and Jimmy is 2,245, number two.
I think I got it.
Who's number three?
I think number three is Aaron Brooks.
He's actually number four, barely ahead of Joakim is number three at 1,867. Yeah. Well, you know what really sticks out to me? Tony Snell, number 10, 1,283. I was, like, shocked to see that. I mean, he still hasn't really even played that much. He's 10th on the team in total minutes, 1,283. And then, like, Taj is 7th. It just shows you how many key guys have been injured. You know what I mean? This team only has two guys over 2,000 minutes when Tibbs tends to play them into the ground. It's Gasol and Butler with the total minutes, through the roof. And then everybody else is anywhere from 1,600 minutes like Brooks or 1,658 to, 1,200, which is Tony Snell. So, interesting, I think. I'm going to jump and look it up and see if any Spurs play with the total minutes were on the Spurs last year. So while you're talking, go ahead.
I just want to talk now about, what do we think about where we're at right now? And what do we think about where we're going? And my take right now is that, first, I'm really impressed with what the Bulls were able to do over this last month. I mean, we faced some pretty bad circumstances. And even though we started off kind of rocky, we picked it up the second half of the month, and we beat some good teams. I mean, we beat Indiana, we beat Toronto.
Twice. Really quick, though, I just looked it up. Last year's Spurs team, the championship team, they had only two guys over 2,000 minutes. That was Tim Duncan, number one, 2,158. Can you tell me number two? Former Bull.
Oh, is it, what's his face?
Marco Bellinelli.
Marco Bellinelli,
2016. That's it. They had two guys over 2,000 minutes. And that was for the entire season, and we already have two guys over 2,000 minutes with Gasol at 2,400. Unbelievable. Go on.
At this point, though, I'm going to have a hard time debating whether or not Gasol – I mean, Gasol, look, you're at the finish line here. The Bulls have a pretty cake schedule for the rest of the year for the most part, and they certainly don't have a lot of games. So they only have one more tough team that they're playing, Cleveland, this Sunday. Besides that, everybody – well, Atlanta, too, last game of the season. Hopefully things are kind of decided already in the Eastern playoff picture at that point. But, as I was saying, you got to say the last month, considering the fact that we had so many injuries on this team, it is amazing that we were able to pull off the month that we did. I think we lost four or five games. I just had it in front of me, but I just went off the screen for a minute. Over the course of the last month, it really comes down to Niko Miritic really keeping the fort together during that period of time. I think that it is imperative at this point of the year that we hold on to the playoff position that we have. I mean, look, we lost to Washington last year in the playoffs. I think we're a better team than we were last year, but at the same time, Washington has owned us this year. Now, they were playing a lot better earlier in the year, but it's not like they've had crazy injuries. I mean, it's the same team that's been playing all year. They've just kind of turned into a crap show over the course of the last month. I don't want to go up and risk playing that crap show. I don't want to take my chances. I want to play Milwaukee. We get the chance to play Milwaukee tomorrow night. I'm sure we're going to smoke them. Toronto had a great game last night against Milwaukee. I know that DeMar DeRozan, I think, had like 46 points or so. It was over 40 points. I can't remember exactly what it was. Toronto was an easy schedule for the rest of the year. I think the toughest team that Toronto plays is Miami on April 11th. That's it. We play Atlanta and we play Cleveland still, rounding out this year. Now, the rest of our schedule is pretty cake, but we're only a game up on Toronto right now. So, I mean, I really think you got to do what you can. We've held the fort together. Derek is playing in full contact practices now. That just started today. I am sure that you will see, especially with the fact that I think we only have two games this week, I am sure that Derek will be back next week. I'm assuming that Derek will be back. Now, you're going to have to deal with Derek. You know, where does Derek fit in? How does Nico, Derek, how does the whole mixture of players work at this point? I mean, Nico right now is the leading guy on the team as far as, you know, the go-to guy. He's the go-to guy. He's been very consistent. Do we really just want Derek to come in and just take the rock again and try to be that guy again? I hope that Derek can, you know, lay off just a little bit and pick and choose his opportunities. I felt like he didn't do that earlier in the year. He was getting a lot better at that before he went down. He was looking very promising before he went down. And if we are to believe that that injury occurred during the Golden State Warriors game, then I'm going to go in and, you know, go out on a limb and say, now that his knee should be fine, if he can find his rhythm and the team can find theirs, which, let's be honest, look, the team has been great since Jimmy's come back. And, I mean, Jimmy was a little rocky his first game, but after that first game, Jimmy's been Jimmy, and he's been playing just like Jimmy has all year. So, to you know, it's not crazy to think that Derek can come back and maybe kind of just pick up from where he left off pretty quickly. But Derek, you know, Jimmy was coming off of a career year. Derek was still kind of finding his footing when he went down. You know, what's gonna happen with that? I think it's easier for Jimmy to figure out kind of how he fits into any system, even with Nico, whoever it is. He was never counted on. He'll do whatever he needs to do, but he was never counted on being the leading scorer. Derek, you know, I just hope that Derek can come in and just, you know, take it with stride and figure out, you know, kind of just how he can fit in with this team and, you know, how we can kind of find our rhythm, because we only have 7 games left, I believe. And, you know, you take those two out this week, that's going to give us 5 games. And if we don't get that 3 seed, then we're going to go up against Washington in the first round. That's not going to be an easy round.
All right, here's who Toronto has. Toronto's at the 4th seed right now. They're 1 game behind us, and here's who they have left. At Minnesota, at Brooklyn Nets, Boston Celtics at home, at Charlotte, at Orlando, at Miami, at Boston, Charlotte Hornets at home. Pretty easy schedule, I would say. Would you concur?
For sure.
Here's ours. Yeah, but it's not too much tougher. We're at Milwaukee, and that's tomorrow. At Milwaukee, Detroit at home, at Cleveland, at Orlando, at Miami, Philadelphia at home, at Brooklyn, Atlanta at home. And Atlanta in that last game might be sitting guys, you know, who knows. You know, not too hard either. I mean, I guess the big question is, do you want to kill guys and really push the minutes up just to win every game and guarantee a 3 seed in a round 2 matchup against Cleveland? Or would you rather fall into the 4 seed, you know, play a Washington team and take Atlanta in round 2 and eventually Cleveland in the ECF? I mean, it's a tough call to me.
What about Atlanta, though? Wouldn't we get Atlanta in the second round?
Yeah, you'd get Atlanta in the second round, but who are you more afraid of, Atlanta or Cleveland?
I'm more afraid of Cleveland, but yeah, I also feel like we could go out in the first round. So I want to go up against an easy matchup in the first round so that the team can kind of gel together, because this team hasn't been cohesive all year. And I think that that's really important. Look, if we have any chance of winning the title this year, you're going to have to beat Cleveland one way or another anyway. So whether it's in the second round or the Eastern Conference Finals, who cares? One way or another, you're going to have to do it. And it's just whether or not you play Atlanta in the Eastern Conference Finals or in the second round, too. So I think that at the end of the day, us being a cohesive unit is more important than anything else. So I want to see Derek get back, and I want to see us win out. And do I think that at this point that you need to ride guys? Yeah, because at this point you know what the seeding is. You know that we're only 1 game up on Toronto, and we have to play Cleveland. We have to play Atlanta. We don't know what Atlanta's going to be doing that last game.
I don't care about that. I'd rather have Gasol play 28 minutes a game, not play 34, 35.
At this point, though, what does it matter, though? Because you're talking about
It does matter. The last 10 games, I want them resting guys. I want guys to be ready to play and healthy in the playoffs. I don't want Jimmy playing 40 minutes a game for the next 7 games. I don't want it. He did it last year. I think when he played 48 minutes in that last game? I can't recall the regular season.
But it was a meaningless game. At this point, now, things might change. It might be meaningless. I mean, if we play everyone hard right now, there is a chance that Brooklyn game and the Atlanta game, that the games are meaningless for everyone. They could just be completely meaningless depending on what Toronto does. So I would take my chances in that regard, because at this point, look, we could have talked. We've talked all year about saving these guys. We didn't. At this point, I feel like it's a lost cause. It's the beginning of April. These guys have played the minutes that they've played. It is what it is. And right now, you're playing for seeding. So now it matters. Now, you are playing some teams right now that are extremely down. I mean, Milwaukee's been falling apart. Detroit's been horrible. Philadelphia, obviously. Brooklyn's been terrible as well. Orlando's been terrible. So you're going to be catching some teams at, you know, really bad times, but Toronto is too. And I don't want to play Washington in that first round. I mean, you're talking then about three series that could be challenging. I would rather play Cleveland in the second round and Atlanta in the Eastern Conference Finals if we get that far, but get to go against Milwaukee in that first round. They'd have to go through Washington, Atlanta, and then Cleveland. Absolutely. I would absolutely want that. So I say right now, you do whatever it takes to be winning these games. It's a shame that we lost to Detroit. A week ago, because that, you know, all these games against crappy teams, we lost to Charlotte, you know, if you were able to win those games, then when you play the good teams, you have a little bit of leeway, but because we didn't, you know, in hindsight, it's 2020, but it's like, at this point, you got to win almost everything.
It's a tough call, man. It's a tough call. I don't view it that way. I almost feel like, I don't think Washington would definitely be more difficult team to play than Milwaukee, so I understand what you're saying. You know, hey, I'd rather play Milwaukee in round one, but in a way, I almost, to me, if you had the choice of having a tougher first round opponent in Atlanta in round two, then an easier first round appointment, an easier first round matchup in Cleveland in round two, I would probably, if you factor in resting guys, I'd probably go with Atlanta in round two. It's a tough call. I mean, I could see benefits and attractions for either way, but you know, we know what he's going to do, so there's no use debating it. He's going to play. Butler will be averaging 40 minutes plus for the next seven games. Gasol's going to be at 35 plus, and we're going to go into the playoffs, you know, hopefully quasi healthy, and all these injuries in a way have been a blessing in disguise, and the fact that he hasn't been able to run them in the ground for the last month. So
yeah, at this point, though, look, Butler's missed an entire month, so I'm not worried about him wearing down. Derek's missed a ton of time, not worried about him. Am I a little worried about Gasol? Yes and no. Look, I was worried about Gasol all season, but it's just like, okay, we have seven games left, so like at this point, am I really that worried about Gasol? Games are spread out in the playoffs. We only have two games this week. Next week, I think we have four. But obviously, there's not a lot of games left in the season. You get a gap between the end of the season and the playoffs. I'm not that worried about Gasol at this point, but Mirotić has been great, and Taj is back, so there's no reason why you have to be running him into the why you have to be running Gasol into the ground. So I just want to find this team needs to play together, though. We can't be resting this team when Derek has missed so much time. This team needs to play together right now. This team needs to find cohesiveness. They haven't done that all year. I'm feeling more and more optimistic by the day because we're seeing how good this team is. We're seeing the talent that's on this team, and this is a team that has not had the ability to play healthy and play together yet. If they could find that cohesiveness, and that still could be a tall drink of water in 3 weeks. I mean, that could be – teams have had the whole year to do it. Cleveland has faced very little adversity in the second half of the year. First half, they did. Second half, they haven't. You know, Atlanta has had – they've had, like, all of their players the entire year. So you're saying we have to find – whether we're more talented or not, we have to find cohesiveness that will allow us to be able to beat those teams that have been cohesive for long periods of time now. Everyone has to play together, and we have to start finding what our rotation is going to be for the playoffs, especially important because Mirotić has been so good. He's going to be a part of our playoff run. And how does he fit in once Derek comes back? Where does he – what's his role on this team? You know, I'm not 100% sure. I don't want to see Thibodeau at this point holding back because he's a rookie. Now, if he's struggling in the playoffs, fine. But Mirotić, certainly, he spreads the floor and he gives us an element. Nobody is going to have somebody coming off the bench like Niko Mirotić. Nobody. The guy can't be defended. He's been awesome. I can see him being that X factor that allows us to beat teams. But the problem is that our starters need to be able to connect if that's going to be the way. Our second unit needs to start playing together as a second unit, not this mishmash like they've been Aaron Brooks in the starting lineup. You got to have the second unit plays the second unit, and the first unit plays the first unit. And that's what they got to find their rhythm together, and that's only going to happen if they play full minutes. And at this point, again, Fred, they're only playing two games this week. If you want to give Gasol a little bit of rest, these games where Derek isn't back yet, I can accept it, but you are playing for seeding at this point. I think seeding really matters. So I just say go for it. At this point, just go for it, because we're at a disadvantage anyway. We're at a major disadvantage with the injuries we've had this year and the flow of our season. We've had a major disadvantage, but I do think that what Derek did was is what's best for his health, and I think that you're going to see, hopefully, a better Derek Rose come playoffs. And if Derek... See, there were so many aspects of his game, Fred, that I really thought were lacking a little bit when he went down. That do I really think that his turnovers are going to be under control? How? He has been playing. I mean, if anything, it's going to get worse.
The only part of his game that was lacking is you didn't agree with the amount of three-point shots he was taking. And he wasn't
but he stopped hit, that.
He wasn't was hitting it. He wasn't hitting down. It at a high rate because every team he played against, they were going under screens and basically forcing him to shoot jump shots. I think you're going to see him a lot more aggressive and a lot more reckless now that playoff time's coming up. And in the playoffs, I think you're going to see attacking Derek, and I think it's going to be something to behold. Just my prediction, just my opinion. If he feels good, he's going to be like he was against Cleveland. He's going to be rocking and rolling, and we're going to have a team that's going to be super scary to play. You know,
his dribble penetration, Fred, was not good, though.
Against
when
Cleveland, it was.
Down,
absolutely, it was.
That was one game, though. Most of the season, when he tried to penetrate aggressively, he was very bad at being able to keep control of the ball.
Because I know why that was. He wasn't trying to do that aggressively. Number one, because he got hurt on the times that – look how he got hurt. They were all on movements to the rim. ACL tear, movement to the rim, meniscus tear, movement to the rim. He did not want to go to the rim. He did not want to risk, you know, hurting himself. And I didn't have any problem with it. I didn't mind him playing on the perimeter for the first three quarters, and he was somewhat more aggressive in Q4. I think now the playoffs are coming, though. You're going to see a different Derek. Mark, this is the first time we have Derek Rose healthy since 2011, you know, basically since his MVP season for the playoffs, right? I mean, he was healthy the following year for the first game.
It's still not ideal. He hasn't played in a month. He has to get back next week. He has to.
I agree with you.
And they seem to be rushing him back, and that's not rushing, but it seems to be on track here. But, like, get back. I mean, you're like, you got to get back by next week, Derek.
There are a couple things they do need to work out, too, because I do agree, like, you know, I don't know if you saw this. Like they did a pick and roll with Mirotić and Gasol, and I thought it was one of the greatest things I've ever seen. I mean, they basically were running pick and roll from Mirotić off of Gasol, and they scored about three or four times. And then all of a sudden, I don't see it for the rest of the game. They have so many options and so many ways to go with this team and the offense. You can go down to Gasol in the post. You can go to Mirotić in the post. You can go to Butler in the post. You have so many options. You can do pick and roll. If they go back to the pick and roll with Rose and Noah, which I thought was the least effective aspect of their offense all season, I'm just going to throw up. I don't get it, you know. But go pick and roll with Rose and Noah. I mean, Gasol, pick and roll with – how about Rose and Mirotić?
Think about the
options there. I mean, options are just endless. So, you know, I do agree with you. He's got to get back soon so they can – and they have at least a few games to figure it out, right? The last five games,
absolutely,
I think, are enough. But we'll see what happens. I'm not really that concerned about it. I really think Derek in the playoffs is going to be just killer Derek. I really feel that
way. I think so, too. But cohesion matters, and I do disagree with you. I agree that he may have been tentative this year, but I'm still going to say, when I saw him be aggressive going to the rim, he had trouble dribbling through traffic. He did not have trouble doing that his MVP year. He didn't have trouble doing that his entire career. He's been amazing at not only using his speed and quickness, but being able to maneuver the basketball to be able to get where he needs to go. He hasn't been that good at that this year, and that is a problem. If you I don't care how fast you are. If you can't dribble the ball and control it, because you're going to be running through guys, if you can't control the ball while you're doing that, you're not going to be able to use your speed and your quickness. So he has been out for a month, and that is scary. I mean, I almost think just give the ball to Derek when he comes back and just let him find his rhythm. I mean, let him be aggressive Derek and let him open up the game for others. Let him do that, because at this point, Fred, there is no question that this is the best offensive team we've ever had since Derek's been around. It's not even close. And the fact that you've got Gasol, the fact that you've got Mirotić, you've got guys, and even Taj to some degree. Taj can take the ball and shoot it from 15 feet. Mirotić can hit threes. Pyle can hit threes. I mean, you've got bigs that can spread the floor. And you've got Aaron Brooks. You've got Tony Snell. Let's recognize that this year. Let's try to make sure that we are opening up this floor for everyone and being smart with the basketball. But I haven't been that impressed with our offense all year. I don't feel like we move the ball enough. I mean, especially I've been watching the NCAA tournament. When you watch these like underdog teams like Notre Dame last week against Kentucky, the reason they stayed in it was because they were just creating good shots for each other. And you see teams like Atlanta do that, and it works. This works at all.
I don't know how you're not impressed with our offense. I mean, compared to where we were last year. Like,
but that's not what I compare it to. I compare it to potential.
Well, still, it's probably a top 10 offense in the NBA. I don't have the stats in front of me.
It could be a top 3.
It could, but it's still miles better than it was. They score a ton more than they used to. It's a lot more efficient offense. I mean, I think 99% of that is due to the addition of Gasol, and then also, you know, obviously Butler's improvements. But the offense, I don't think, is going to be the issue. I mean, if we end up losing in the playoffs, it'll probably be due to, you know, defense. And again, I brought this up before, but, you know, I think a lot of it has to do with perimeter defense. The Butler is our only legit A-plus perimeter defender. Everybody after him, to me, Heinrich has regressed to the mean, if not below the mean. It's going to be so, and Dunleavy's not a great perimeter defender. I mean, really, who do you have that are great perimeter defenders? I guess, and I don't even think Snell, everybody who says Snell's great, man, he's so up and down to me, and I don't think he's a great defender. I think he's at best good. I think more likely he's average, but, you know, to me, that's the most interesting part of we go into the playoffs. A guy like Snell, is he going to play? Is he going to get meaningful minutes? How's Kirk's minutes going to look? I just believe that, you know, Tibbs is going to probably side with 25 minutes a game for Heinrich, probably close with him, and you're going to see guys like Snell and even Mirotić, probably their minutes aren't going to be where they are now. They'll be lessened, and he'll depend on the vets, and you're going to see, you know, he might shore up his rotation where it's more less than more, right, and not use all the options at his disposal. I hope I'm wrong, but that's my prediction.
Yeah, but what does that mean? That means Kirk Heinrich instead of Tony Snell. That's it. There's no way that he's going to not give Nico Mirotić the minutes. Yeah, but there's no way. But like you said, though, Snell's up and down too. So, I mean, Heinrich has been terrible this year. But we have a lot of guys playing right now. So, I mean, you know, you play – you could work it around where Kirk's minutes are still somewhat limited. Kirk's got to protect the basketball and not shoot the ball too much because he just isn't shooting well this year. But if he's not shooting, do I think that he could be more reliable than Snell? Yeah. I mean, because it's just – you're right. You don't know exactly what you're going to get. And do I think that he has the confidence at this point maybe to go in and make major contributions in the playoffs? I don't know. I don't know. And do you really want to find out? Maybe. I mean, maybe if we play Milwaukee, fine. I think if we play Milwaukee, we'll have a lot of leeway in what we can try. We'll get a lot of confidence. If we play Washington, I don't think we're going to have that leeway. So I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that predicament because I agree with you. I don't like Heinrich, but is Snell ready for the playoffs at this point? I don't know. For major minutes, I don't know. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what we do. But if we got to figure out how Mirotić fits into this whole thing because Mirotić needs to be playing close to 30 minutes a game in the playoffs, no question. We're not going to win without him. We don't have enough talent on this team to beat Cleveland if some of that talent is not Nico Mirotić. Nico is something that they can't match up against. We have more depth if Nico is playing.
Yeah.
And maybe more talent. I mean, LeBron's LeBron. But so far this year, LeBron's been very good. But we have very rarely seen unstoppable LeBron. And obviously Kyrie is not unstoppable. I mean, he's very, very good. But the problem with LeBron is that in the past, LeBron would go on these spells where it didn't matter what you did. He just couldn't be stopped. As long as somebody isn't in this like sort of like transcendent zone, like Wisconsin was at against Arizona the other day, don't talk about it, but I'm just saying, where they're going 10 to 12 threes in the second half, where it's just this is just unstoppable basketball, like LeBron always has done. And then they can be beaten. You know, as long as it's just going up against a really good guy, a really good team can beat a really good guy. A really good team may not be able to beat a guy that's just on all cylinders every minute and just goes insane and makes every play occur. So, you know, I do think that we have the personnel, but you're going to have to rely on our depth, Tom Thibodeau, and that's not shoring up this rotation. That's giving us a shot to really be able to play a deep rotation and just rocket these teams by playing extremely aggressive every second we're out there.
It's going to be fascinating to watch, man. I'm so excited. I mean, when you get down to it, you know, we're here. Finally, everything we wait for is almost here. and you know the team is going to be reasonably healthy. And there's other teams like Oklahoma City that would die to be in our position, right? Having everybody there, everybody ready. I don't think we're going to have a better opportunity than this one, at least in the near future. I mean, we got, you know, a guy who chose to come here for peanuts and Gasol, who had much other opportunities at other places. He's near the end of his career. Noah, I think, is near the end, too, with his poor knee. Taj isn't getting any younger. And then you have Derrick Rose, who, you know, who knows what he's going to be in 5 years. This is it, man. This is it. Time to
I'm not
going to
necessarily say that this is it, but look, to think that Powell is going to come back next year. Look, when players generally start to fall apart because of age, and this is the age it happens, especially with big guys because of their knees, it just happens. And it's all of a sudden they're not the same anymore. Powell has been amazing this year. Do I hope he's this good next year? Obviously. But is he going to be? Who knows? I mean, this could be it for Powell. Nico's going to be better. There's no question about that. Derek, if Derek's consistent, look, the fact that Derek played all year this year, and Derek should play well in the playoffs and whatever, into the offseason, be able to work hard, do I think that Derek could be better next year? Absolutely. Is his career going to be extremely long? Who knows? But I think he could be really good next year. You're right about Noah, and you know, who knows about Gasol. And Taj, it depends, because at this point, I kind of want to keep Taj, because I don't know how much longer we have with Noah. It'll be interesting, because Noah just, you know, rest up the season and be ready to go next year? Maybe. But could Noah also be at the beginning of the end? You know, who knows? Who knows? But you got to love Noah. I mean, everything that he's been doing for the community and just hearing what he's, you know, out and, you know, in the bad areas constantly, and just what he's doing about the violence in the city. He's really taken ownership of this town. And, you know, I certainly hope that at the end of the day, maybe his numbers don't warrant it, but I hope that at the end of the day, I hope he gets a championship, and I also hope that, you know, he's the type of guy who I think his numbers, like, borderline should he be retired. He played his whole career here, and he's just the heart and soul of this city. I mean, he embodies everything that this city is all about, and you know, even when he hasn't
totally
been his best,
that's what makes
so
his,
impressive.
I totally agree with you. That's what makes the decision on him so exceptionally difficult, Mark. I mean, like, he's at a career low this year in almost every facet of his game. I mean, he's shooting 44%, by far a career low. He's shooting 62% from the free throw line, by far a career low. Everybody's talking about the addition of Gasol has affected him. How does the addition of Gasol affect him at the free throw line? He's 10 points below his career average of 71%. I mean, it's not that. It's his knee. You know, that's my opinion. I mean, but if you look at across the board, almost every metric, he's down. And he's got one more year left. I don't know, man. It's a tough decision with him. It's just not looking good as far as the metrics go. I don't think he's played that well this year. You know, he's passed the ball incredibly well. He's an incredible passer. He's got a vision and a gift for it. But as far as shooting the ball, it's at a point now where most teams, unless you're Toronto, who obviously don't have good scouts, they're not even guarding him outside the paint. And I wish I had in front of me right now. You know, in the past, he used to be able to hit that jumper with the weird motion and would at least bring some guys out. He's not even attempting it now. So, you know, he still defensively does incredible stuff overall, and I still think he's an A-plus defender, but he's not where he was, and I don't know if it's going to come back. You know, he seems to be getting better, and then he'll have a regression. You know, I don't know. But if you look at his numbers, I mean, I encourage everybody to check it out. He's at, you know, almost career lows on shooting metrics straight across the board. He is averaging 9.8 rebounds this year, you know, and I know his minutes are down slightly, but, you know, that's another.
They're down considerably. He's down 5 minutes a game from last year. That's pretty big. He's 30 instead of 35. That's a huge difference.
Yeah.
But, yeah, field goal percentage. Look, his entire
62% from the free throw line. It's really strange to me that. I mean, his last 3 years, here's where he was at, 73%, 75%, 74%, 73%, 74%. That's his last 5 years from the free throw line. All of a sudden, this year, he's shooting 62% from the free throw line. I mean, that is a massive, drastic drop, and I can't figure out why. And the only thing I can assume is it's got to do with his knee. So, I don't know. Anyhow, man.
What about the fact that from 08 to 12, he's got well above 50%? Are at least above 50%, his field goal percentage was above 50%. Even last year at 47%, look, he took over this team last year. the fact that it dipped from 48 to 47 between 12 and between 13 and 14, I'm okay with that because his role on the team last year was so heightened. But this year, where he's able to play within the context of this offense, he's shooting 44.5, and that's not very good. Now, also, I'm not going to accept everything that people are saying about, well, it's because of Pau Gasol. I'm not going to accept that. I haven't a great player.
I totally agree.
What, because Carlos Boozer made the game easier for Joakim Noah? The fact is, at the end of the day, people try to say that defensively, well, Gasol's not a good defender. Well, Carlos Boozer wasn't a good defender. So it's like, well, we were like the best defensive team in the league. Joakim Noah is not Joakim Noah this year. It just is what it is. He's taking a career low since his second year in the league in field goal attempts just to begin with. I mean, just at this so far this year, he has not been impressive. He's still a force. I mean, he's still a good player, but he ain't one of the top three or four centers in the league anymore. And does that necessarily – I mean, we've increased the talent on this team a lot. So do I think that he's still very much an asset? Yeah. So, you know, we do have depth. We're lucky that we got a guy like Taj Gibson, because I don't think that Joakim Noah's Nico's a center. Pau can play some center. But, we've got depth at that position. So I think that under any circumstance we'll be okay. But we always give Joakim the benefit of the doubt. And the fact is that if Joakim's not feeling it, I hope that in the playoffs we're able to make adjustments. That's all.
And before we wrap up, I did want to mention one thing. Larry Hughes Jr., who's a good, been a great contributor and follower of the Bullseye for, 5 years. We've been getting emails from Larry. And, about a year or so ago, I stopped getting contact from him. I just checked in with him, and, he did follow up with an email. Our prayers and thoughts go out to him. He lost his wife a year ago, which I didn't know. And, so I just wanted to mention to him, he went through a really tough time, but he's a great guy, and he's going through it. He's getting out of it now, and hopefully going on with his life. But it just put things in perspective, what's important in general. And, a shout out to Larry, good friend of ours, always bringing great content and nice emails to us. And I'm glad to see that he's hopefully doing a little bit better now. So,
absolutely.
All right.
Hang in there.
Yeah. Love you, brother. Anyhow, until next time, my man, I got to hit the road.
If it ain't bull.
Hey, basketball.